Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Learning some lessons about salvation from 1 Timothy chapter 2, we come to the accomplishments of salvation in verses 5 and 6, at least two of them, and one of them centers upon the word mediator, that's verse 5, and the other one centers upon that word ransom in verse 6. Here are the verses. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We are looking carefully at that concept of mediator in verse 5. And again I read, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we have learned that a mediator is one who intervenes between two parties in either in order to restore peace or friendship or to form a compact or ratify a covenant. It's one who stands in the middle and brings two parties together who formerly were not joined together. And the very word mediator supposes some kind of controversy that has separated the two parties and that needs to be mediated. And that, as we have learned, is what Jesus Christ has done. And he did that by his work upon the cross, as well as his perfect life of righteous obedience in keeping all of the laws of his heavenly Father. Now, an interesting aspect of this is to look carefully at that word man. Actually, we find it twice, first in the plural and then in the singular. It says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, plural, the man, singular, Christ Jesus. Now, this is very interesting because the word man normally would be the Greek word aner, which means a male individual, and that's what you would expect when you're talking about the man, Christ Jesus. You would use normally the Greek word that talks about a male individual. But here, it is not that word. It is the word anthropos, which corresponds to the plural word men that precedes it. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's anthropos, the man, and again, the singular, we have the plural in the singular form of that same Greek word, and it is showing us that Christ as mediator corresponds to the needs of humanity. Between God and men, anthropos. Anthropos is the word for humanity. It's where we get the word anthropology, which has to do with the study of mankind. In other words, it has no reference to either male or female. It's that generic use of the word man, which might better be translated people, to distinguish it from the term man when it does mean a male individual, or men when it means a collection of male individuals. Now, these are important distinctions, and we'll see why this one is important in just a moment, but let me say in a general sense that wherever you find the word man or men in the Bible, you ought to take a close look and see what is the original word that underlies it. Because oftentimes it is that word, aner, which means a male individual, and I am distressed that some of the more modern translations ignore that totally and change that into a generic word like people or person, when the Greek specifies male individual. I think that's very dangerous. I think that's taking liberties with the Word of God that are unwarranted. But here, that would be entirely warranted because the Word is not that of male individuals, but rather that of human individuals, in the plural, and one human individual in the singular. It could be translated, and maybe would better be translated, as follows. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and people, the person, Christ Jesus. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and people, or humanity, the human, or person, Christ Jesus. You get the point. Now, here's the point, of course. It tells us that Christ, as mediator, is mediator of all people, whether they be male or female, whether they be Jew or Gentile, no matter who they are. This means that he is a suitable, capable mediator or representative for anyone and everyone in all the world, no matter who they are, for all men without distinction of gender or race or nationality. Christ is the one God-appointed mediator between God and people. And he's as much the mediator for a believing woman as for a believing man, for a believing Gentile as for a believing Jew, for a believing young person as a believing older person, and so forth. For a believing white man or a believing black man, it makes no difference. He is the mediator of all kinds of people without distinction. There's nobody in all the world that can say that there is no mediator for me, that God did not appoint a mediator for me. That is not true. The person, the human, Christ Jesus, answers to the human need of every human being, whoever he or she may be. And that's important, isn't it? And there, as I say, the word man would better be translated human being. There's one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the human being, Christ Jesus. You see how that ties him together with the human race? It emphasizes the importance of the incarnation and how that Jesus Christ became a human. He became a male human, to be sure. He became a man, and there are some passages that emphasize his maleness. But in his mediatorial aspect, that's not the point. In fact, that would be perhaps misleading. The fact that he is a male is true, but it's really beside the point here, because in this particular instance, he is the human being who is the capable mediator of every kind of human being, no matter who they may be, and certainly as much for females as for males. Very interesting. And a lot of things you learn if you will take the time to scratch beneath the surface and find a little bit about the original language. You say, well, I haven't studied Greek. I can't do that. Well, if you will find someone who is a good serious Bible student, they can point you to some very helpful volumes that will enable you to study out these things without knowing Greek. I promise you, it is possible, and it is very profitable. But we read that there's one God and one mediator. Some religions have many gods and many mediators. Some religions have, at least they proclaim to have, many gods exercising conflicting desires towards men. One of the gods wants this, another god wants something different, and they are in conflict. Or some religions have different gods for different classes and groups of men. One god for this class, another god for that class. One god for the upper class, another god for the lower class. Some religions have one God, but many mediators. There's one God, but there are many different people who stand as a go-between between God and human beings, and we can go to many of them. But the Bible is very clear. The Christian religion, as shaped by the Bible and understood by the Bible, is very clear. There's one God, Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the triune God. There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You say, why does it emphasize the man Christ Jesus? Why doesn't it say the Son of God Christ Jesus? Because that is also true. Because this, as I say, is emphasizing his humanity. His manhood corresponds to our humanity. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man. One God and one mediator between God and humanity, the human being, Christ Jesus. One God and one mediator between God and people, the person, Christ Jesus. And it was in his humanity that he became our mediator. In his deity, before the incarnation, he could not serve as our mediator. Before the incarnation, we didn't have a mediator. Now we do. And the incarnation, God becoming man, is what provided a mediator between God and man. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. But now we move on to the concept of ransom in verse 6, and we'll just be able to begin this and have to take it up, Lord willing, on Monday. But we read in verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Speaking, of course, of the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Who gave himself instead of others. Antilutron. The anti, the prefix on that word antilutron, that is translated ransom, means instead of, or a substitution. By far the commonest meaning of that prefix anti is the simple instead of. Thus, antilutron is a payment given instead of the slave or the prisoner, that is, in substitution for the slave or the prisoner. A person holding the slave or a person holding a prisoner is satisfied with the payment as a substitute for the slave he owns or the prisoner he holds, and he's willing to free them. Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom. He gave himself in the place of. He gave himself instead of. He gave himself as a substitute for. That's how he secured our redemption. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, we'll have to take that up, Lord willing, on Monday, and I trust you'll join me then. Until then, this is Greg Bartman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast. Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. You can email us at beaconbaptist@beaconbaptist.com. How simple is that? beaconbaptist@beaconbaptist.com. Until Monday, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.